welcome to Asian American Perspectives. I'm Eric Olander. In this edition of Perspectives, Asian American actors. Asian American actor Ken Narasaki wrote in an editorial, and I quote, "What many fail to realize is that most Asian Americans who grew up in the 60s and 70s became actors not only for the usual reasons, but because we saw that the films, TV shows, and plays of our childhood either ignored us completely or saw us only as mysterious, evil people to be feared, silly people to be mocked, or servile people to help ease the burden of the white man's more complicated, more interesting life," end quote. Narasaki writes what many Asian American actors and performers are feeling: frustration, upset because the white-managed American media industry has confined Asian Americans to only secondary roles. Narasaki contends that this type of exclusion is nothing short of racism, and he is personally leading the fight for all minorities to gain access to primary roles in television, theater, and movies. I spoke with Ken Narasaki and fellow Asian American actor Mark Hayashi at a coffee shop in San Francisco.
It's almost like this new media Cold War because of the incredible success of Japan and now the other, what they call the other four tigers, you know, Korea and Taiwan. There is this kind of growing feeling in America that Asia or the Pac Rim is really coming of age. And the thing that's interesting in America, I think all Asian Americans, no matter what culture they come from, are starting to feel this sense that the new stereotype is that we're the enemy, we're the gangsters, we're the VC heavies. You know, we're becoming like the new villains of the new age, you know. And I think it's similar to what maybe the Arab Americans are feeling also. But in almost some sense, and I'm not saying the battle is won in any long stretch of the word for the black Americans, but almost in the modern age, they've been incorporated into the system, into the, you know, media system. You know, they're becoming the at least the shining examples of assimilation, Bill Cosby, and the idiom and number of Michael Jackson, the number of stars that are maybe just 10 years ago would have been unthinkable in the Hollywood system. They are now incorporated in the system, but there still has to be the heavy, and I think Asians and Arabs are taking their place.
Do you see a change in any of more Asians becoming into primary roles as opposed to secondary roles?
In the political and spiritual sense, no. I mean, I think on face value, we're getting, well, the Asian American woman's image in America has always been more palatable, so she has a position in society that is unique, but also problematic, but is unique. Asian American men, I think we're getting a little bit more face value, but as far as really becoming an intrinsic part of the system and being an intrinsic part of a story a la Hollywood or TV, no, we're still cast as the outsider. We're still cast as the victim. In a lot of parts that we go up for, it's ironic in Hollywood, I audition for two kind of roles sometimes in one project. One is the victim of the villain and the villain. And they're both equally the outsiders going to the system for help, or they are the antithesis of the system, you know.
I can think of two examples too of the kind of directions that film and television are going, both one personal and one in the larger sense. The personal one being that I auditioned for a role in which. It was basically for a television show in which I was going to play the husband of a murdered woman. Well, the murdered woman was white. The casting director and the director both thought, well, geez, I think you'd be really good for the husband. You know, there's nothing in the script saying that he's got to be white, so maybe you should be the husband. And everyone got really excited about it. Last second, producer got cold feet and said, well, you know, we really should explain why he's Asian, and we're not going to change the script at this point. So they ended up casting a white actor to play that role. Well, the positive side of it was, you know, 5-6 years ago, I wouldn't have even ever been allowed to audition for that role. The downside of it, they still got cold feet and said, well, it's about race. If a person's is of color, then it becomes about race, and we have to address that. The larger picture, as I just saw The Two Jakes, and one of the things that just popped out at me was in the original Chinatown, James Hong played a houseboy, and I think one of his very few lines was, "All salt water, very bad for glass." Well, in Two Jakes, he had a full scene in which he was allowed to express some humanity and his own perceptions of what happened. But it was still accompanied with the Japanese flute, and I don't know if there was actually a gong in there, but there was oriental sounds to accompany that entire scene. And he was still a man from the mysterious East, unwilling to divulge the secrets that he held. So progress is being made, but we still have got so far to go. We're like constantly falling short.
I pose this question out to the rest of the world, as we've been involved in this for 20 years, and especially coming from an Asian American cultural base, there's a lot of questions that we've solved as far as who we are as human beings, and we're still continuing to solve and find in mind. But it still is, I'm often, the big question is, why does the larger system perceive us constantly as the outsiders? That is becoming more and more the active question for me.
Have you figured it out?
No, because I mean, most of the people who are in theater, who are my peers, were so mainstream in a lot of ways, in a lot of ways suburban, in a lot of ways highly educated, in a lot of ways a part of the system. And yet when we go to Hollywood, we're orientalized. It's almost like you have to learn two crafts. I mean, you can learn the craft of being a good performer, one, and then you go to Hollywood and you have to learn how to be an oriental character actor, which none of our backgrounds really have primed us for. So it's a real dilemma that Asian performers find themselves in.
So if you went to Hollywood and either one of you were cast as an Oriental performer, would you know how to play an Oriental performer?
Well, I think we all do. That's the frightening thing. We sometimes have to choose not to. I think all of us have, at one point or another, turned down work just because it was so obviously stereotypical and damaging that we couldn't, in good conscience, take those roles.
So as far as they're concerned, if you have yellow skin, black hair, you speak Cambodian, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, right, you exactly. Are Asian.
Exactly. That's exactly the plight that an Asian actor or actress faces constantly on a day-to-day level in Hollywood.
And it shows you how faceless we still are to the powers that be. We are still people with black hair and tight eyes, and we're all the same. And that's exactly the kind of perception that we've been battling all our professional lives, that we are all individuals, we're all different, and not only as individuals, but also as cultures.
Traditionally, Asian American theater has only been seen in those communities with large Asian populations. However, playwrights such as Philip Congotonga have introduced the rest of the country to Asian American theater, actors, and culture. Some of Gotonga's works include The Wash, Yankee Dog You Die, and Fishhead Soup, all of which address issues pertinent to Asian American life. Gotonga was once quoted as saying, "I realized that racism was more a part of the land than I had ever dreamed." And Philip Congotonga's style is very aggressive, and he attempts to crush stereotypical and racist ideas with hard facts, that Asian Americans are not the model minority. They're just like everyone else, with good sides and bad. I asked Gotonga if he thought his confrontational style was threatening to some people.
Very much so. I think it's threatening to folks who are outside the Asian American community and threatening to some folks within the community, you know. I'll speak to that. I mean, with the emergence of Asian Americans, of people in color in this country, and that is seems to be the case, there's also the downside, and that is the tremendous resistance from some groups of people as they feel disenfranchised. Thus, you know, hate crimes in America, and that was a term and word unheard of a couple of years ago, is now very common. You know, the name Vincent Chin. I mean, there's a tremendous backlash going on, and I think it's important that I, as an Asian American, I, as the person who is addressing these themes, to continue to push and continue to put those stories out there and continue to write as truthfully as possible about those particular stories. Also, within the Asian American community, I think, you know, there's a tendency sometimes to feel that they don't want to let the dominant culture see into who and what we truthfully are. You know, there's a certain amount, I think it comes from this kind of fear. If you've basically lived in kind of a community and been to a degree disenfranchised yourself from the dominant culture, there's always a bit of distrust as to how they're going to how they are going to perceive us, how we look to them, and we don't want to show them our dirty laundry. And for me, it's a matter of if this literature is going to continue to grow, that is Asian American literature, then you have to be willing to explore all themes. You have to be willing to say, we are all these things. If we are people, if we want our rightful place in terms of the media, in terms of the world, and if we're angry about these one-dimensional stereotypes that are put out there, then we have to be willing to provide real images of who and what we are. And along with the good comes the complex and dark side, too. And so in terms of my own writing, especially with my newest work, Fishhead Soup, here, I'm trying very hard to delve into the darker complexity of who and what we are, such that ultimately the world can see us as we really are. We're dark and light. We are rich, emotionally rich, complex human beings. The idea being that if you can put these stories out there in theater and in film, it diminishes the power of a stereotype. It diminishes the power of this one-dimensional image that's put out there. It reduces the image to a cartoon as opposed to a stereotype. Because what the stereotype can do right now is that as people kind of walk down the streets, you know, many people in America are feeling disenfranchised. And they feel that, you know, we've lost our jobs because the Japanese, you know, are kind of taking over the country. They're buying up our land. All these new immigrants are stealing our jobs. They don't speak English. Now, the fact that they're upset about the way the world is going is a truthful emotion. The fact that they pick on an Asian face, an Asian person, is because of the information they've been fed. So that if they have this one-dimensional image out there of an Asian American who's a bad guy in, let's say, a Stallone war film or some of these war films that have come out in which Asians are all evil. There was a favorite film of mine that I loved to poke fun at, You're the Dragon, because it promoted yellow bashing. You know, I saw it in action in a theater. I sat there and it really promoted yellow bashing. It provoked people. In my particular instance, I was in a theater in Westwood, and it allowed young white youths to look at Asian faces as the enemy and make them feel good about the idea that Mickey Rourke was going to mess them up. And I think that's really a disservice to everyone. It's a disservice to those young white youths that they were fed this kind of image and given this kind of idea at a time when those types of themes are very provocative. I mean, there's a lot of violent themes floating around in the world, and I think we have to be very responsible as to what we put out there. So, getting back to what I was talking about, if you put out stories that have to do with complex portrayals of Asians, and if you happen to see them, then in some small way, when you see this very simple kind of one-dimensional portrayal of an evil Asian man or a sexually provocative Asian woman, you can't just look at that and believe it on some real deep level that, yes, that's a handle I can get a grasp on and I believe it. Because if, on the other hand, you've seen this other portrayal of Asian Americans and seen them as just like yourself, they bleed, they cry, they need, they want, well, you just can't embrace that stereotype quite as strongly. It diminishes its power. And that is the value of, I believe, my work, of other Asian American artists, of other Asian American actors, that in fact, it does strike blows against the empire of the stereotype.
This has been Asian American Perspectives. I'm Eric Olander in San Francisco. Perspectives would like to thank the following people for their cooperation: Ken Narasaki, Mark Hayashi, Philip Khan Gotanga, Kelvin Han Yi, the Berkeley Repertory Theater, and Tina at the Asian American Theater Company in San Francisco. Asian American Perspectives is a production of Echo Communications, all rights reserved.